Welcome to the Rearview Mirror Podcast, looking back on all that we don't know and a few things that we do.
All right, hot mic. Hey, Kenzie, put my mic back where it was. I have to use it. Damn it.
We share a little area with Sarah and Kenzie and their Even If podcast. And Steve is a little pissed this morning because...
That's strong.
Oh.
Yeah.
What
just,
are you?
Just irritated.
Oh, irritated. Yeah, yeah.
I'm kidding, Kenzie. Yeah. Just put the mic back like I had it, okay? That's all I'm saying.
Oh, gosh. Sarah, yours is perfect, sweetheart. Don't worry about a thing.
Oh, God. That's a whole nother episode right there.
There you go. Well, good morning.
Hey.
So, watch those hogs last night.
Yes. It was late.
Yeah.
Man, can we do something about the 9:20 tip time?
What is that? And there's two of them tonight. I saw 9:09 and 9:00
something. I won't be viewing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I barely made it awake for my own team last night.
So, yeah.
And overtime.
Because in the first round, we're starting at like 11 in the morning. You know,
yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, couldn't we balance that out a little bit?
I don't know. Feels like we could make some progress.
Only four games a day, but oh well.
Yeah.
We're not in charge.
They know more than I do. You know.
Maybe.
Hey, all right. How's the fitness journey going week two?
Great. Great.
Oh, okay.
I'm serious. Okay. So I'm going to tell you the good, bad, and the ugly. Although they may not even be ugly. So, you know, I'm on week four of really trying to eat cleaner and watch my cardio movement kind of deal. So my steps are staying high, not as high as I probably like them, but I'm hitting 10,000 four out of 7 days for sure.
That's good, or more.
Eating so clean. Like, Steve, you know, I've told you this before. I walk out of Home Depot to buy something and I'm going, oh, there's a Reese cup. Why would I not buy that? I mean, it's like I'm an addict, you know?
Yeah.
I have not had a candy bar in like 4 weeks, which for me is a win. Like, that's incredible.
Yeah,
for
that's
you,
good.
Non-sweet tooth, which, by the way, our good friend Bob McKinney.
I know.
He sent me a text. And I don't think I did. I read it to you?
You did. Bob, we'll talk offline.
He said, I can't trust anybody that says they don't have a sweet tooth.
Well, first of all, there's a lot of things about me you shouldn't trust anyway. So that's fine. I don't have any problem with that. It is weird. I do have, there are certain sweets I like.
Yeah.
We have a friend that makes this one dessert that I'll stop eating early for.
Really?
But I bet I haven't had a candy bar in maybe since I was a kid.
See, that's incredible. I mean, just
not because I'm disciplined, just it doesn't appeal. There's zero appeal.
No, it's my comfort food, unfortunately.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, been doing really well there. And from it's so fun because I got on the scale this morning. I'm weighing every morning. I'm being a little obsessive about it. Surprise, surprise. Yeah. But I got on the scale this morning and from February 15th, so what is that? A little over a month. No. From February 1st, so probably like 6-7 weeks. I'm down 13 pounds. You know, I said I want to lose 20. I'm realizing I got to lose even more than 20, but I'm proud of that.
Wow, that's good,
I was
good,
the
man.
Lowest today I've been in 30 years since I moved here.
Did you ever consider the Ozempic, the shot going around?
The what? Nope. Well, so my doctor kind of wants me to because my blood sugar's high, but I said, hey, I'd love to see if I can bring it down without it. And right now, you know, I'm doing my blood sugar every day, and it's working. My blood sugar's coming down. The weight's coming down. I'm not totally close to it, but I don't know. That you know me in medicine, that's a part of me going, dadgum, I'd love to do it on my own. So,
yeah, sure. you can heal yourself.
I probably can. The body can, right? But the other thing that I want to follow up with you on, because you've been awesome at riding my butt about it, is the trainer. So yesterday I committed to him.
Oh, good, man.
I know.
I think that's a good
decision. Starting Monday.
Okay, good.
So I'm looking forward to that. And I had to go through my little process, but I'm looking forward to
it. What is your process on that?
I don't know.
Like, what's the back and forth? Why you were on it, then you're off, then you're on it. Like, what does that look like?
I think for me, it's scarcity brain. You know, I get in this place where I mean, there's wisdom in analyzing your budget. Like, I totally get that. But I just get into, oh, yeah, but man, that much money we could do this with, and maybe we need to do that. You know, I won't have enough. I shouldn't do that. I think that's one part of it. I think the second part of it, as I've said to you before, it's that track record in my story of I can prioritize everybody else's needs, but what I need is probably not that important. And I don't know. I just think seeing this progress right now, and you said something to me that was super helpful. I said, man, I feel like I'm making progress. This time of the year, it's easy for me to move. This time of the year, it's easy for me to be focused. Maybe I'll bring a trainer on come fall. And you said, why don't you think about it just opposite? You know, your challenge was, what if while you've got such motivation, you're doing well, you add that so that you go to the fall with even better discipline? And that one really hit. So thanks.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I think that's a, I think there is something to whatever you're trying to do or think about riding the momentum.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
This has no mathematical basis, but gamblers will tell you, hey, you know, you bump it up when you're on a good streak. When you're on a bad streak, you pull back.
You pull back.
I think there's some logic in that. Like if you've got some momentum right now, mm-hmm. just take advantage of it.
Yeah.
You know?
I think.
Not advocating gambling, by the way.
Sure. Like,
well, I don't know. Life's all a gamble anyway.
Isn't it? Right. That's the ultimate gamble.
We're day to day.
Waking up every day going, okay, now what? Well, thanks for asking though, because I want to be faithful on that. I just feel like this is a good season of my life to, you know, keep a movement toward health, and it feels good. I'm dreading the resistance stuff though. I just realized that part of, you know, being in a gym and weights, like, oh God,
what?
But I don't know. I don't know. I don't like it.
Right.
You know, just foundationally, it's not been a part of my life since high school at any level, early college days maybe, but. Mm. I know once I get in there, I know I'll feel better. I know it'll be good for me. So, anyway, I'm gonna keep moving.
Okay, good.
Trust the program.
Yeah.
That's what I tell people all the time. The
same trainer that you talked to before?
Yep. Okay. Yep. I thought about, oh, maybe I need to do something different. I thought, why? I really like this guy. So, we've gone back and forth this week on a couple things. And then yesterday we were talking, texting, and he's like, man, I got that 8 o'clock slot for Monday morning. I said, okay, I'll be there. So here we go.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Twice a week.
I'm going to start it once. And then he said, I think that's a great beginning for you. He goes, and so, you know, my commitment to you is that he's going to give me stuff to do throughout the week. And if I can't do it on my own, then I'll bump it up beyond once a week.
Yeah.
So
you don't have to commit to me.
No. Well, it's just cause I know you'll wear me out.
And that's I sent you one text.
I know. Well, for me, that's good. Cause nobody pushes me like you do. So I always appreciate
it. Yeah. Very good. I didn't think that was a push, but I can push you if you want. But I think it'd be great for you. Yeah. I think you'll be.
I appreciate that.
Amazed at the results.
I'm feeling already. I'm like, oh my gosh, why has this been so hard for me historically?
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
All right.
Of course, the challenge is grandchildren all weekend we're going to have together. And so I'll be making a bunch of, you know, grilled cheese sandwiches and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And I've got to figure out, wait, where do I put my food in there for me? Because I can't eat their diet these next 3 days. So
yeah,
PB&J's
okay.
What's that?
PB&J's okay.
Yeah.
Stick one of those in my bag for golf.
Do you really?
Yeah.
That's a perfect snack.
But you'll burn off a lot of energy chasing those little rugrats around all weekend, too.
Oh, yeah. It'll be a blast. It'll be a blast.
You look like you were going to say something.
Yeah, I was, but I'm okay. Oh, I was just going to check in on you. How are you? I mean, anything new in your world this week?
Nothing exciting, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
More of the same.
Yeah. Nothing that stands out. I'm trying to think if I've missed something significant, and then the three people that listen will remind me, hey, this was significant this week, and you didn't. Yeah, it's been pretty standard week.
Yeah. Did you give any more thought to my little challenge with you last week about writing your little story?
Not much.
Okay. I'm going to keep bringing it up because I'd love you to.
Yeah. I probably will at some point, but I don't think I'm there right now.
All right. Then I'm going to chill.
No, it's okay. You can ask me about it anytime. Yeah. That doesn't bother me at all. I think, I don't know, just I haven't listened to that episode again, but I mean, to be completely honest, I was pretty vulnerable.
Yeah.
Mm. I just don't know if I'm going to be that vulnerable on the podcast yet.
Okay. And that's okay.
That's about as clear as if we were at Panera, that's what I'd say. Hey, I'm not going to share that yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. Nope. But I probably will at some point.
Okay.
I just have to get there.
I think selfishly, I really want to hear it. Just,
yeah.
You know, knowing
you probably know most story. Of it.
Well, yeah, but I just think I'd love to hear that. But anyway.
Teaser for future episodes, right?
That's right. That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Right now, you just get the same old surface nonsense.
It works for me.
Yeah,
what's on your mind today? Anything?
I had a couple of thoughts coming in, and now they've kind of left me. What's the most, so since we've been doing this, and you monitor some feedback on social media, what's been one of the most interesting things that you've heard? Or interesting questions. I was wondering, do we get any questions?
Yeah, no, but I keep hearing people say, man, we want to ask you questions. And one guy this week, I thought it was so cool, he said,
let's open it up. Turn the phone lines on.
Yeah, 1-800-CALL-STEVE. Mm-hmm. you know, we do have that little email address that we never talk about on here. It's called Rearview Mirror rearview25@gmail.com.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I just set it up about 9 weeks ago. I don't think I've told you, but rearview mirror 25 for the year 2025, because, you know, rearview mirror, of course, just wasn't available. Rearview mirror 25 at gmail.com. We would love, I think it'd be a blast if people sent in some questions, if we could interact with what people are hearing. I had a guy yesterday say, Jeff, I'm loving the conversations between you and Steve. He goes, my only frustration is I get so lost in it. I feel like I'm sitting on a couch listening to you guys, and I want to ask a question. Then I realize, oh, wait, this is a recorded podcast. I can't ask a question. And I told him, I said, man, send in thoughts on anything. It'd be fun just to respond to them. I don't think we're the experts that have the answers, but it'd be fun to kick around what people who are listening are considering.
Yeah. I'd love to take, yeah, that'd be fun to take questions. Wouldn't it? To see, I'd be interested just to see what the questions are.
Yeah, yeah. The biggest feedback that, again, I don't know if it surprises me or not, but it's really what, you know, you pushed for in the beginning. I think what I hear most consistently is people saying something like, appreciate just the conversation between you and Steve, glad that it's unedited. It's cool just to see two guys having the conversation. There was that one guy that sent us that note early on, and he reached out again. It just meant so much. He said something like, when I watch the way you two are able to interact, I realize I'm hungry for it, and that hungry for the same thing in my life. And so thanks for being a good model for how to do that. And I just thought, well, this is just what we do when we're together. But I realize there's a lot of guys that it doesn't come supernatural to. And so if we can encourage men to figure out what does it mean to go to Panera and have a cup of coffee with one, two, three guys. Again, I think at the beginning, that's what we were saying. Is there anything we've learned that's transferable? And maybe it is.
You've said this a lot over the years. I even told it to a group of guys I play golf with the other day. Men are lonely. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really true in a very general way. One of the guys that I was talking to was saying they moved here from a different state and just happened to find a neighborhood. Looking around, didn't know anything about our area.
Yeah.
Found a neighborhood based on the fact that there were some bikes in the yard and, you know, his kids' age.
Perfect.
And what a gift that's been, because all, you know, this entire neighborhood plays golf together, you know, so wow. It's kind of fun and really good guys. But he was just saying, hey, that's just been a game changer for him. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, I interact with a ton of guys through that venue.
Yep.
And, you know, I think most guys in our age bracket are in need of and desire of some relationships with other guys. I mean, it's just clear, you know.
I had breakfast with our mutual friend, Samuel Rainey, this morning. And Samuel's a therapist here in town, as you know, and does some executive coaching. And he's with men all the time in his practice. And this topic came up there today.
Pretty good golfer, too, by the way.
Is he really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's a nice little stick.
But we were talking about this, and that's what he was saying. He said, man, I just feel like that lonely men become the catalyst to families getting in trouble and to marriages getting in trouble. And I just thought that's so simple, but it's so true. I think when we men kind of have our moorings or support, I think it is dangerous. And yet it's so easy to get caught up in our drivenness to do more at work. Again, things that are good. I'm not against any of those things, but that we forget, gosh, I need to be a place where I'm known, at least at some level, and where I can kind of back up the truck and say, hey, here's some stuff I've been thinking about, or here's some things I've been kicking around.
Have you always had that?
It's interesting. Laura and I have been talking about this a lot lately. I would say, oh, yeah, I've always had that. But I look back and I go, I think, you know, my job in a pastoral role, I always had people talking to me about stuff. I don't know that I've always had it as deeply as I've had it the last 5 to 10 years. You know, there was a season in Chicago shortly after we got married. You know, it was the Promise Keepers Movement days. It was the accountability groups days. And I was in a couple of groups there with some guys that I feel like we did go really deep. And some of that depth was just behavior modification depth, you know, place for that, but it wasn't enough.
Sure.
There wasn't a place just to talk about deeper desire and longing and what's behind the behavior stuff, right? But we did have a small group in those days that we were together in for about 5 years, and it was a couples group. But when the guys would get together, I think it was super deep for me, really rich, you know, no holds barred. Mm. But I think most of my pastor days here in town from 99 to 2010, you know, a lot of good friends, a lot of good people that I got to talk with. But I think what we've experienced, you know, especially the last decade, that's new stuff for me. And I don't want to live my future without that in my life at some level, you know. I have a buddy in Greenville, and he always says this. He'll ask me this. So who are the six guys that are going to carry your casket?
Does it take six?
I said, it may take nine for me, but I'm working on that now. No, but, you know, I kind of love that question. You know, it's like, Sean, every time you ask me that, I just go, well, I got three, but one of them owns a dolly, so I think we'll be okay.
Yeah. My boys are strong, so
they'll fill in the gap.
Yeah, right.
What about you? It's like, gotta be, well, what's community like for you? Yeah.
I'll come back to that in a second. I was going to ask you this, but I think, man, I just think that's so hard for a pastor.
Yeah.
We've talked about that a little bit, but I mean, maybe there's a shelf life for that role anyway. I have no idea why I think that, but
that's what Eugene Peterson says.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He said in one of his early writings that it seems like a person should only be in an active, vocational, full-time pastoral role for 2 decades at the most. The soul wasn't created to go longer than that. Fascinating concept.
2 decades and that feels like 4 decades.
I think it can. Because
you're always on call. You're always, you know, there's a sense, especially in our area, I think in the South particularly, you know, you're supposed to be everything to your congregants. Yeah. And you're supposed to be really good. And, you know, if you don't have a place... Got a good friend in Dallas that does this, just a place for pastors to retreat.
Yep.
And, man, if you don't have somebody that can just, you can kind of let your hair down a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I think that's probably the
brutal
catalyst of his statement is that most guys don't find that safe place. And, you know, I wish it weren't this way, but it seems like frequently that safe place is found outside of the church that they're working in or outside of the ministry that they're working in.
That makes sense.
You know? And, that one of the favorite things that Laura and I do together is we'll bring pastors and their spouse to town, and we'll do these 2 or 3 day, we call it a marriage and ministry intensive. And it's literally where we just sit with them 6 hours a day. And we talk about how's the state of your marriage? How's the state of your heart? What's ministry doing to you positively? What are you doing that's not helping ministry be positive for you? And I think that's the common thread we hear when we bring these couples to town is, goodness gracious, we don't have a place we're talking like this on a regular basis. And I just think that's such a need.
Mm. Yeah, I think for me, it's been, I think early on my single years, you know, right before I got married, I had a really good group of guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were just close.
Was that Memphis days?
Memphis, Little Rock a little bit, yeah.
Okay.
And then there was, you know, probably some drought, early marriage, trying to figure out, you know, where we're going to live, what we're going to do, who our friend circle is. And then you end up, you know, with friends from your kids, you know, parents, now parents of your kids' friends that now we've been friends with for 25 years.
Yeah.
And so that's been good. But you end up, you know, Jen and I were actually talking about this the other night too. I think sometimes you think, you know, when you're younger, you have a best friend.
Mm-hmm.
As you get older, you just have different friends.
Yes.
For different things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are guys, I talk about this all the time, but there are guys at my golf course that I, you know, it's probably 40 guys that I hang with at some level,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's different. Being around each little group is different.
Yeah.
Different conversations, different topics, and that's okay. And mm-hmm. if I want to have a deeper conversation, I know which one of those guys I can do that with and which ones are probably not as open to that. And mm-hmm. both are fine.
Yep.
But over the years, we've gotten to know each other and that's been good. I think our meetings, Panera, with you and our other guys was probably the most meaningful stuff.
Yeah.
Just because you know, I'm better one-on-one. I'm usually the guy that goes home first in the group, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not a great chit-chatter.
Mm-hmm.
I can lose interest in that pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Substance matters to you.
Over a period of time, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't just go. It's hard for me to go through the motions just conversationally and, you know. I love, I've said this, I love the lessons that sports teaches, but I don't watch nearly as much as I used to, and I don't really talk about it a ton,
mm-hmm.
other than interesting trends or behind-the-scenes stuff that I think is kind of fun to nerd out on. But, yeah, I think the substantive conversations are are more appealing to me.
Yeah.
Information is not, my wife would say, she told me the other day, you want and give out less information than any man I've ever seen. I don't know if that was a compliment or in some ways that's okay, but in, you know, sometimes she would like a little more information on different topics, but I don't, you know, information just for the sake of information or who's doing what or logistics is not, I don't, I lose interest pretty quickly.
Well, I've observed you, you know, and obviously one-on-one, small groups with men, and even, you know, when we've had couples, three, four couples sitting around a table together, one of your superpowers, I think, is questions. And tell me where.
Why do you say that?
See, perfect example. But where does that come from in you? Like, there's a curiosity, it seems like, that's really deep in you. Where do you think that comes from?
That is a good question. I enjoy talking about what makes people tick.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's an interesting topic to me. I don't know why. You know, why do some people like red? Some people like blue. I don't know. So, for example, you're sitting around with a group of people and you're talking about, hey, we're going to fly to, you know, we're going to New York. And then there'll be some that, hey, what time is your flight? Are you going to fly Delta or American? Are you going to fly, you know, and that's, and there are groups that like that. And I'm thinking, huh, that's interesting. Why do you go to New York? What are you looking forward to? You've been there before, you know, where are you going to eat? But I think the why people do things and what makes them roll is, that's interesting to me.
Yeah. You and Jen have, at least it seems like, correct me on this, it feels like you guys have, for a lot of years, been involved in some kind of group connection together. You know, I remember coming one time to a group of four or five couples y'all were with, and we talked about the Enneagram, surprise, surprise.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You remember?
Okay, yeah.
But what's the catalyst for that? Is that something that, you know, like for you, is that something you go, man, that's super, super life-giving to me, I really want it? Or is it more like Jen goes, gosh, I like this, and I'm glad to be, like, what have those groups been like for you?
Some of both.
Okay, sure.
You know, some over the years were church small groups, and I think that was one of those. And I think it had its season, and it was fun and good. And
fun, you used my word.
I did. kind of ran its course.
Yeah.
You know, I would say we touched on this early on in one of the podcasts, but it's going to be really hard for me to go just join a random small group at a church or anywhere, you know, it's just, but again, that I'll caveat that saying that's just my personality.
Yeah.
That's a challenge. And maybe I need to do something like that with people I don't know, but I feel like I would rather, there's probably two or three circles of friends that we have right now that are in the same season of life. I would rather invest in those circles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Than start something new, but maybe, you know, maybe people need to hear a few things I have to say. I don't know. Maybe new people. I don't know. But that feels daunting to me. Whereas other personalities that are more extroverted and relational would really enjoy that.
The more the merrier, the more the news better.
News better. So I'd say those groups over the years have been hit and miss. I've had some that have been great, some that hadn't been that great. And but our two or three circles of friends that we do things with, I really love that.
No, and y'all are amazing at how you host and how you walk with people, and such a good team, as we've said before. That's cool.
Yeah, most of the time.
Yeah. I meant when you're hosting.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. my brain's thinking about a conversation I had with my boys last night. Two of our boys, the younger two, Jonathan and Jacob, and I sat around a bonfire last night. Josh couldn't come in. He had stuff going on. But we got talking about this whole area of community for men and what does it mean? And, you know, both of them are finding their ways and to be connected in the churches they're attending. And you know, there's always an invitation to join this group or join that group. And one of our guys was saying, man, I feel like I'm in four groups right now, you know, and because people ask him, and he's like, well, yeah, I'll give it a try. And, you know, but we were talking about, well, what makes a good group, you know, and it was interesting hearing my sons. And of course, some of this is a reflection of the family they've been raised in, I know, but they were both just saying, gosh, I want a group where, my paraphrase of what they were saying, but I want a group that's willing to talk about real things, that wants to go deep, that's not afraid to wade into the messy. And I was just laughing going, oh my goodness, I love to hear that in them. And so, you know, I was like, okay, so the groups that you're in, do you get to experience that? It was really interesting as we kept talking last night. It was that sense of going, gosh, it feels like a lot of the church groups I'm in, it's almost like there's this posturing that's going on, and even in just men only groups, and I have to weigh my words carefully. And, you know, one of them was saying, I feel like the guys don't want to go beyond, you know, there's this rule. There's a certain level I don't want to go beyond. And I was thinking back on my own journey. I thought, no, I can see that. I can experience that.
I think that's true.
Yeah. We're afraid to really be known by others.
Is that okay?
I don't know. I for years I would have said, no, we're called to be known by others. But I think it is okay if I don't know if those people are safe, but if I'm with someone that's safe,
but how
why
do you
would
know,
I not want
how do you know if they're safe?
Well, I think there's a lot of reps to that. It's just like in our marriage. I've got guys who've been
married. That's where I was going with it, yeah.
For 20 years that say they don't feel safe with their spouse. And I'm going, okay, well, something needs to be addressed. My goodness.
Right.
If you're in this thing that you say is permanent, you know, but you still carry around secrets. You know, in the 12-step world, those men and women are just freaking brilliant. I mean, you know,
they really
and they
are.
Have all these pithy little adages that are just so smart. And one of my favorite ones is, you're only as sick as your secrets. And, you know, if you think about that, that's really true. And especially as people of faith, when I hear Jesus' words of you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Well, you know, either Jesus is absolutely right or he's totally crazy. And I tend to think he was right, you know, yeah. That truth sets us free. But when I'm afraid to speak truth, to speak the story of my hurts, pains, wounds, disappointments, struggles, screw ups, whatever, then I'm as sick as those secrets. So I do think there's something about having, I remember a book from 30 years ago, Safe People was the name of it, having some safe people in our lives. And it takes time to know if people are safe or not, but where we can be known that way.
I think that's what doesn't get talked about enough and is a lot of the frustration in the small groups that I've been a part of.
That's a good point. Keep going.
It takes time. Yeah. I love the word reps. That's a great word. It's you need some reps.
Yeah.
I mean, just if you've ever played sports or tried to do something new or learned an instrument or whatever, you know, I mean, we all know this in our brains that the more you do it, the easier it gets.
Yeah.
And it's just a function of time. But I think looking back, rearview mirror on my experience in this, I think I wish I would have had a few more. I wish there'd been more instruction.
Mm.
Hey, give this group some time.
Yeah.
It's going to take time. Everybody's at a different spot.
Yeah.
Size of the group is important.
Yeah.
Because what you're really after, I think, whatever your personality, whether you like a lot of people or a few people, I think what we're after is somebody that is safe and somebody that you can be vulnerable with.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about things that matter, mm-hmm. trying to keep your marriage and family together, mm-hmm. and all that, mm-hmm. stuff. And you, mm-hmm. may not find that in a group, yeah. of 16 people.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you might find that one person, mm-hmm. in that group, mm-hmm. but it takes time.
Yep. Yep. I remember even in my days of, you know, I was always the group guy when I was working in churches, and, you know, we would try to set groups up to be able to have those deeper moments together, you know? So we would talk about these, we had this life story exercise. You probably remember it, you know, where you prepared your life story, you brought three things that illustrate your life story, and you shared your story with the whole group. And, you know, on the one hand, there were some very emotional moments. There were some really cool moments. There were some cathartic moments for people, but outside of clarity, sometimes in the definitions, I think what our group is and what it isn't, and have we really built enough equity and time and trust with each other to be going, quote unquote, that deep in our stories, I think one of two things happened. We either came in and told stories that were just glamorous stories about our lives, or we told the truth really deeply and then we felt betrayed because either someone actually shared somebody outside of the group or nobody ever followed back up. And so what happens, you sit in that group after you've shared really deeply 4, 5, 6 times and nobody follows up. And the story you begin telling yourself is, you know, probably shame based, like, oh crap, I shouldn't have told that.
Overshared.
And so, yeah. And then there's this regret and resentment. And then what does that do? Well, now I'm going to live more careful. I'm going to live more, you know, calculated. I'm not going to share as much. And I do think there's something about, you know, if I had a mulligan on that season of my life, I think I would have said, look, first year, just hang out, eat some meals together, talk about maybe what you heard, something that you've read that's been encouraging, but we don't have to quote unquote go deep out of the gate. And I think sometimes that that became like the barometer, man, that was a deep story. This must have been a good group experience. Instead of going, gosh, we're learning just to walk in the way together. And depth comes out of time.
That's really good. And looking back, I think it's, you know, I think it's okay to have some meals and do some things where there's no deep conversation at all.
Right. Right.
And it doesn't have to be every time.
Right. Because inevitably,
because for some, that's going to wear them out, you know, like, hey, this is, I can't do this every week.
Yeah.
I just want to watch the game tonight and, you know.
Can we just laugh?
Yeah, right. 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 There's benefit in that.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be, it can be organic. It doesn't have to be prepared all the time.
Mm-hmm. No, I love that word organic. You know, I think, plus I think what happens if we really are sitting around a table enjoying, you know, a good meal together, conversations happening, even just catch up or tell us about your kids, you know, just those kind of getting to know you questions, inevitably, if you have ears to hear, there is a depth that begins happening.
Sure.
When you hear somebody say, yeah, you know, and we're doing great with these two kids, but boy, with this child, we've been struggling some. Well, I don't need to know all the ins and outs of their struggle with that child. But if I have ears to hear, I'm able to go, huh, I know what it's like to struggle with a child. Wow, we're more alike than I thought we were. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, it's like baby step one. You know, I'm aware that your story did something in me and I'm going, I can identify with that. I have compassion for a dad that's going, man, don't know how to engage well with my son right now.
Yeah.
But I don't need to fix him. I don't have to know the entirety of his story. I can just keep journeying together, just keep walking.
That's what I feel like when I'm healthy.
Yeah.
I'm good at letting people be who they are. Mm-hmm. And I like that part of my personality. When I'm not, I'm cynical and critical.
Yep.
But you know, I wish I'd been a little better at that at a younger age. But mm-hmm. you're in a group with people and they do things that you like or they do things that irritate you. And mm-hmm. you know, if you've been in enough of them, you go, that's the way it was. Tonight wasn't great.
Yeah. And that's okay.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I'm not gonna come back next week.
Right.
Here's what we can do better. And but part of it is just, you know, getting in the mix. And,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Figuring out what you like, what you need.
Yeah.
I do think for guys, you need at least one other person, mm-hmm. you know, to kind of
be known by.
Be known by mm-hmm. a little bit, mm-hmm. for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's the greatest antidote to, I think, the biggest battle that we men have, and that's the battle of shame. You know, when Brene Brown talks about shame resilience, you know, how do we begin to overcome shame? You know, she always talks about that the only way to begin battling shame is bringing it to the light. And, you know,
vulnerability.
Exactly. And, you know, her key word, right? But I just think it's so easy not to do that. But I do think there's that need for all of us men. And, you know, we're talking about men, but my gosh, I mean, this is the exact same thing for women as well. You know, I think women get the label, man, they're so good at connecting. They're so good at relating. I go, I think they're really good at talking. I think they're really good at sharing data and opinions. And sometimes they're as clumsy at really being known and really exposing their ugly side as we men are. Because, again, I think that's human nature is, you know, it goes back to this print we've talked about so many times. Our natural wiring as humans is, how do I hide? How do I self-protect?
Yeah.
But when I'm courageous enough to step over that line with the person or few people that I really trust, I don't know. There's life on the other side of that.
Sometimes I think it's even harder for women.
Mm. Speak to that more.
Well, I just think if you're a mom, you've probably spent most of your life trying to, you know, usher the family around, work, be a mom, all the things, and you know, if your kids are being knuckleheads or doing something. It's more of a, I think they wear that more than maybe the dads do sometimes as a reflection of them. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that becomes a harder struggle. I don't know. It's just easier to see if a guy is being stupid.
Yeah.
You know, and women I think are better at, in general, this may not be true. I have to think about this a little bit, but yeah. Sometimes I think they're better at putting on a good face.
Well, they're more comfortable talking about things, period. They're more comfortable at least acknowledging emotion. So I think you're right. I think they're that may be true. That's worth thinking about more.
Yeah.
So any of you women who want to comment on that, remember it's steve@gmail.com.
Yeah. And if I don't respond in 24 hours, just be patient. I'll get back with you. I promise.
It would be interesting if there were some women listening today.
No,
we said we wanted questions. Yeah, rear view mirror.
I didn't say I wanted questions. 25. I said it'd be interesting to see the questions. I don't want, I don't know
well,
that
I'll
I want
read
questions.
Them and make Steve answer them. Just send them to me.
You mentioned the word accountability earlier. When you think about that, what do you think?
Yeah. I think it may be one of the most misunderstood words we talk about. And I don't care if we're talking about in a small group at church or if we're talking about working out in the gym and everything in between. You know, I think the definition most of us have for accountability is, hey, Steve, I'm going to start working out. So I want to be accountable to you. And so what that means then is I want you to call me every day to see if I did my workout. And if you don't call me, then it's your fault that I didn't work out because you didn't hold me accountable.
Right.
You know, honestly, I feel like that's what I hear so often is, well, I had an accountability partner, but he didn't check in on me. So, yeah, I didn't work out. You know, I think healthy accountability, and I think the ultimate meaning of the word is, Steve, I'm going to make myself accountable to you. So here's what I'm going to do. My commitment to you is I'm going to reach out and let you know when I've done well. I'm going to reach out and give an account, accountability, when I haven't done well. And again, our 12-steppers are phenomenal at that.
Yeah.
You know, you get a sponsor in the 12-step world, and the sponsor is not going to be your babysitter. I mean, those men and women who are sponsors,
they're tough.
Just the opposite.
Right.
You know, but they're going to pick up the phone if at all possible when you call them.
Right.
And if you say, hey, you know, I'm sitting outside the liquor store and I want to go in and buy a fifth, they're going to go, all right, you're free to go do that. What do you want to do? Well, I just told you I want to go buy it. Well, all right. Are you going to go in? They're not sitting there, oh my gosh, let me remind you of what you said to me. Let me remind you how you said you don't. They're just going to say, okay, what's your choice? What do you want to do? In other words, take account for your life.
Right.
Thank you for calling me. I'm here to encourage you. But at the end of the day, make your choice.
Right.
And to me, healthy accountability is when I want to own my life, but I don't want to do it alone. So, man, can I just let you know, can I celebrate my wins? And can I celebrate my steps backwards in hope of I'm going to take greater account for my life and start stepping forward again? How I think about the word.
Yeah, I agree. I think I've always associated it with prevention.
Fascinating.
You know?
That's a great phrase.
I just don't think it's, I don't think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. To hold account. I mean, that's what we did having coffee all those years with guys is we gave an account of our life, good, bad, and indifferent.
Yeah.
But I wasn't going to not, I mean, I'm a grown man. I'm not going to not do something because I've got to come Monday morning and tell Jeff about it.
Right.
I mean, I don't care. I mean, you know?
Yeah.
I think most guys are probably like that. Like, and so.
Well, it's a form of legalism, I think, when we do it that way. It's a form of trying to modify my behavior instead of dealing with what do I really want? I'm sorry.
No, that's a good point. Because I think in what I observed over the years is if a guy has that phrase, accountability partner, then, you know, everybody feels better about it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Wife feels better. Kids feel, you know, other friends feel better. But the reality is, I can't make anybody do anything.
Right.
Or not make them not do anything.
Right. Right.
And so.
Right.
Yeah. Again, being known by someone, I think, is helpful. But accountability is not a methodology for prevention.
Right. Okay. That's a quote right there. Accountability is not a methodology for prevention. I think that's such a strong phrase.
That's good. I just came up with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Hashtags,
does it make sense? I'm saying it back to myself in my head. Does that make sense? Okay, I think it does.
Yeah. Again, it doesn't mean that accountability is bad. It doesn't mean accountability is not helpful. But If I'm putting my eggs in the basket of, well, if I'm this in this accountability group, I won't struggle with drinking, with porn, with whatever the thing is that we're gathering around. But true accountability group to me is a place to go, hey, I get a chance to go and tell my story. I get a chance to go and talk about my wins and my losses. And I'm going to be in a community of people where it's non-judgmental, grace is extended, and there's an invitation to say, so look in the mirror, Jeff. What do you want to do differently this week?
That's good. I had a thought on that, but I'm rethinking it.
Come on. Or don't.
So if you don't have somebody like that, how do you find them?
That's funny. I was going to ask you 10 minutes ago. So if you're talking to a 30-year-old that's wanting this, what would you tell them? Same question. I think I'd love for both of us to speak to it. I think the reality is it requires you to be willing to take some risk. You know, I think so often, especially like in the church world that you and I've been raised in, there's a tendency just to go, oh, you know, we've got these mentors. You can reach out to those. Maybe. And when it works, great. But sometimes I think it's a matter of just having your eyes open and looking around a little bit and going, okay, are there other guys in my world that I've crossed paths with, even just barely, but I'm really intrigued by, man, there seems to be something cool in that dude. And then so I think the risk is going, hey, could we go get a cup of coffee sometime? And again, I don't think it's in that first cup of coffee going, I need an accountability partner. I need somebody. I think it's just going, hey, I've watched you from a distance. I'm intrigued by your life. Tell me who you are. Tell me how you engage with people. Tell me about what's important to you. You know, I think it's taking the risk of going, I want to get to know some people. And it's kind of like the old salesman principle, you know? You're probably going to have to make 10 phone calls before you get one yes.
Right.
But I think it's worth just going, I wish I would have done more of that when I look in the rearview mirror. I wish I would have been more courageous. Gosh, even in my early 20s, I remember coming out of college and I felt like, gosh, I don't really have a mentor. I don't really have anybody that's discipling me. I don't have anybody that's really, you know, a strong man ahead of me. But I'd see all these guys that I admired. But then the thoughts of calling them up and saying, hey, could we get coffee? I was like, oh, I shouldn't do that. So I think part of it is you got to take a risk and just say, hey, can we connect? Can I get to know you? I think that may be baseline, first step. I don't know. Thoughts?
No, yeah, I would agree with that. I think you got to reach out. And then, again, I just keep coming back to this concept. You got to give it time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be labeled a certain thing. It doesn't have to be called a certain thing. I think where I was going with accountability earlier, and it's kind of ties into small groups, this topic, we have such a need for resolution and certainty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about this on the Paradox podcast that I don't think we've released, but I want a mentor. I want a business mentor.
Yeah.
I want a this. And so I need to meet every week. I need it. We like structure and certainty, I think, as humans. Every personality does at some point. Yeah, I mean, I can get OCD about my own stuff, even though I'm laid back about other things. But, and I think being willing to live in, hey, I reached out to this guy, I haven't heard back, or, you know, this friendship isn't taking the route that I thought it would, or don't love this small group, but I do. I think just letting it ride and not having to have resolution or structure all the time will allow things to blossom a little bit.
Yeah. That's, I think it's true. Yeah. I just think combination of risk, combination of patience/time, as you're saying, I think too, don't miss what's obviously in front of you.
What's right there.
You know, I think there have been seasons of my life when I've kind of had this fantasy of, oh, but it needs to be like this, or it needs to be this person doing this, and never stop to go, wait, you know, who's my neighbor, or who's that person I shoot the fat with every day, you know, every Sunday after church. Wait. Something already is happening there. It's easy. Why would I not say, is there another step we can take? And maybe there isn't, but maybe there is.
Yeah.
So don't miss what's beside you either, I think. That's what I would tell somebody.
Yeah. And a lot of times I think we're doing, you know, you mentioned dinners we'll have with our couple friends. I mean, that's a pretty strong part of our life.
Yeah.
And I would say as good as any mean, that's as good as any small group we've been a part of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's what I came to realize over the last 12, 15 years is, again, we can over-program community if we're not careful. And what we create is well, this can sound pejorative, and I really don't mean it that way at all, but we can create adult Sunday school classes that are meeting in homes.
Yeah.
You know, where we cover some content, where we share prayer requests, where we share at a level, and we're even doing it weekly. But I think what I've realized is that there is something, I don't know, I bet the four of us as adults with some other couple probably have 6-8 meals a year, you know, once every, I don't know, 6 yeah. weeks maybe, something like that, I'm guessing, yeah. if we would probably average it out. And yet, though, I never leave one of those without feeling a sense of, gosh, that was rich. That was good for my soul. And, you know, like we've said before, we don't come with an agenda. We just sit down and somebody has, you and Laura are probably the king and queen of question asking. Y'all always have some question it seems like you bring in. And then thank goodness that the other folks around the table are willing just to share. But I think I've just realized there's a sanctity, even though, again, it's 6-8 times a year in those moments. Mm-hmm. That, and it's funny because, you know, when we're doing the weekly meetings at 90 minutes, we're ready to be done. Well, we've sat around your table and my table 3 hours plus many nights. And if you would have told me it was 10-20, I would have gone, there's no way it is. But yeah. suddenly it is. And yeah. so I think there is something about just going, where's the right people, the right place? And again, it takes time to build that.
Yeah, for sure.
That's fun. Well, what a fun topic.
I know. That was not what I expected today, really. But that was good.
Yeah. I think, you know, sounds like we're about ready to wrap up on this land of the plane. Just a couple other thoughts in my mind. I've been thinking since the last couple episodes that, gosh, for people who are listening and who are going, you know what, I appreciate what Jeff and Steve are talking about, but it's not been my reality. I've been hurt in all my attempts at that. I just want to say to you guys, if you identify with that, is yep. Yeah, it's super easy to get hurt trying to build relationship. And I think it's really worth the risk of getting hurt again. It's like, I don't know how you develop relationship without being willing to take the risk of this is going to hurt. It might not go well. I just don't want hurt to be the final word. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing is I would say the word that we both have used today, I guess I'm putting an exclamation point on as we wrap up here is, gosh, risk. You know, it takes risk to build the kind of relationships that I think at the deep level, most of us really go, I'd know it's good for me. Maybe I don't quote unquote long for it. Like, you know, salivating, I got to have it every day. But I also know this, that gosh, when I experience it, when I taste it, I go, boy, that really was good. I do need that more in my life. So I just think being courageous to keep trying, taking that risk there.
Even to the point, so I thought about this when you were saying that. So the guys we keep talking about in this little coffee group, it's been anywhere from 2 to 4 people over 10, 15 years. But there's times, periods of times where we didn't meet.
Yeah.
And you know, our wives would probably get tired of us, you know, and they'd say, hey, why aren't y'all meeting? And I think we kind of laughingly said, because we don't want to.
Yeah.
The reality is if we'd all wanted to get together, we could get together.
Absolutely.
And we just didn't for whatever reason. And sometimes it was logistics and
but life.
Mm-hmm. Life. And to your point about how much you want that, I mean, there are times you don't want that as much.
Yep.
But I do think there is something to having a little wisdom about, hey, maybe I don't want it right now, and that's okay for a time.
Mm-hmm.
But I need it.
Yeah.
And we've even come to the group sometimes and sat there at Panera and said, and I don't have anything to say today, but I'll listen.
Yeah.
And that's okay too.
Yeah.
It's very kind of come as you are.
Yeah. There's a safety in a place like that that's rich, and there's a depth that can be rich in moments too.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. So if you're listening today, what we talked about at the beginning kind of lightheartedly, I'm going to say this. it would really be a blast. If there's thoughts that you're hearing us discuss that you have thoughts about, do shoot us an email or reach out anyway if you have our numbers, whatever.
No.
And Steve's number, by the way, is 615.
Yeah. No, do not reach out by phone. Do not reach out by phone or text. Contact Jeff.
You can me. You actually, just forget Steve. Just send it to me, but I'll ask him the questions. But we'd love to hear from you. If there's something that's on your mind or something you'd love to hear us kick around. As you know, we come in here and it's raw. We're just kind of like, okay, what are we going to talk about today? But we're enjoying this, trying to steward again the little bit that God's given us. And if it's encouraging, we're grateful. And if it's not, you're probably not listening right now. So
the great thing about questions is we can skip right over them.
Yeah.
If we don't like want to answer one. Yeah. Just like, I didn't even see that one.
So. Darn, I must have lost that email.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you're out on the golf course this afternoon. Beautiful day, right?
I am. I hope it will be.
Oh,
we'll see.
It will be. All right. Good to be with you.
See you.